Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora and welcome to another Aotearoa Rugby Pod. No mai, haere mai, after a big win by the All Blacks against the USA. What to make of that game? Or what can you take out of that game? The answers to those questions. Bryn Hall coming to us out of Christchurch and James Parsons in Auckland. And let's start with you, James. When a scoreline is that big, what can you take out of it considering the challenges ahead?
I don't know, but I thought I was in trouble there because only my mum calls me James when I'm in trouble. I think you can probably take out of it the opportunity for some players, and I suppose if we use Damian McKenzie, for example, he really pushed his case to warrant potential selection in the bigger test matches. And we know how well Geordie's been playing and put himself in that position from his performance in the Rugby Championship. But I thought someone like Damo really staked his claim for more game time. And I know it's going to sound like I'm on the Damo bandwagon again, as he is one of my favourite players to watch. But I thought he had a massive game, and I thought other guys potentially put themselves in that spotlight as well. Tupou Vaa'i, I thought he was big in that first off-the-ruck carry, or giving the tips or the bombs out the back. I thought Ethan de Groot was great. So it was more around increasing your shares, I suppose, as such, if we use that as an analogy, for opportunities against the bigger test nations.
You want to see them go back-to-back, basically, Bryn. They want to use that and say, okay, I'm going against Wales too.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's some really good points that Jip brought up around giving guys a lot of opportunities. But I think, you know, some of the things that we talked about previously where they probably weren't as clinical as where they would want to be was exiting out of their own zone. And look, I thought they exited really well. You look at that first try, they wanted to play with the ball on hand. And yes, even though the Americans made some poor decisions on the edge, you've still got to be able to put the ball away. And then from that, you know, the support lines. I don't know how many times we saw in that game just guys supporting, whether that be a 9-7. You know, Angus Tarvale was flown around for support lines trying to get a meat pie. And so, you know, you're talking around the exit focus. I thought it was a really a massive improvement compared to the last couple of test matches that they've had. And then we talked around the breakdown and the quick ball retention. Look, Finlay Christie was just in and out in that first 40 minutes due to the collision and winning the breakdown battle. And look, I know it's against a second-tier nation of the Americans who didn't have all their players, but you've still got to be able to do that and be brutal for that. And, you know, anytime you can bring up 100 points in a game, you know, it comes back to that breakdown and winning that breakdown and getting that lightning quick ball. And probably lastly, I thought as well, even though they did make a lot of opportunities just through some poor decisions from the Americans, there were a lot of times in that game the skill set under pressure and the catch pass and squaring on the edge was world class. And you've got to be able to finish those opportunities. So, you know, even the forwards, you know, Jacobson was on the edge a lot, Hoskins, and even some of the other loose forwards as well were on that edge side and being able to fix the defender in hand, and then being able to put the likes of Braden N or Will Jordan and the likes of those boys on the edge. So, they'll take it as a lot of men had the opportunities, but, you know, we did talk about previously there were a couple of things we wanted to see them improve on, and yeah, they did that in leaps and bounds. And hopefully that's a stepping stone coming into some bigger test matches through the back end of the season.
The talk about the exit play, Bryn, I find fascinating, because the exit, a lot of the time was ball in hand, wasn't it? And against the top Northern Hemisphere opposition, you're likely to see more boot to ball. And we talk a lot about shaping defences and shaping attacks through your kicking game, but there basically wasn't one, Jipper. So
no.
Is that a different kind of preparing?
That's what I was interested to just jump on there, is that I think they chance their arm with ball in hand a lot more than they would if they were coming up against I suppose more familiar nation. They certainly were hungry to play. I think Damien kicked and Richie kicked a couple of times in that first half, but most of it was if they didn't carry off that first ruck, they went out the back a lot of the time, and due to the nature of that defence, as Bryn alluded to, on the edge, it was easily broken down. And I think we saw that in the first 30 seconds, didn't we, with a try to Luke Jacobson. And I don't think they would have been that keen to play that amount of ball in hand stuff, because we know they scored long range in the Rugby Championship, and we know they read defences really well, getting it out of their half, because they scored the most amount of tries out of their own half from 50 or more out. But they really accentuated that, let's put it that way, in the game against the US. And I think that was more to the keenness. And I think Ian Foster touched on it. It was just a little bit too focused on the ball in hand play, rather than playing the game plan as such around manipulating, like you said, with the boot just as much as with ball in hand.
So is that a bad thing heading into the Wales game, Bryn?
I don't think so at all. I think if anything, they were able to stretch their legs and been able to go out the exit structures, because no doubt about it, they'll be wanting to play a run or kick option. So when you can be able to execute that under a little bit of pressure in games, it does give you confidence moving forward. But I tend to agree with Chip that the defences of Wales, Scotland and the Northern Hemisphere teams are going to be a lot better. But what it can do, watching that, you've got to be able to see it. So if they see those structures of having that attack set up, then the defence has to be checked from seeing what they've seen and been able to preview the All Blacks. So if anything, it's going to open them up if the opportunities are going to go there, like we have seen in the Rugby Championship. Hopefully they can execute and won't put themselves under pressure. But I think you will see moving forward a bit more of a kicking game, whether that be off contestables off nine, Richie or Bodie putting those contestables up on the open side. But what it does do, it gets teams thinking around, okay, they have the ability to be able to run, but they have the ability to be able to kick, which I probably think they will do a little bit more in the next coming weeks.
Brynna, you said Richie or Bodie. It's the million-dollar question that we ask every second week. Jipper, where do we go against Wales, considering Richie's kind of just getting back into the fold? Do you give him another crack?
Well, I suppose probably a different coaching group when I was involved in the team, but I don't think you lose your spot from, injury, or, Richie was out of the team, due to having a baby. So potentially he might come back into the 10 and Bodie slips back to the bench. But I always find this one so hard because they're both playing so well. And it's probably the style of play, because they are different players. The style of play and the game plan will be the big deciding factor on who starts at 10. And we know, I suppose, Bodie's that flat and fast, and will want to bring himself into the game. That creates opportunities for others in and around him. And then Richie can sort of go between both styles, which is probably his strength, as he can go to that kicking game and running game, because he's got such hot feet. So I tend to think that he won't be punished for having to stay at home for the birth of his child. So he might get the 10 jersey back.
So, Bryn, do you think that he will be number one, I suppose, by the end of the tour? Is that what we're looking at?
It's just so tough to be able to comment on, because you've just got two guys that are, like Gypsy, you've got two guys that have played well. And there's not that much between them. So it's pretty much more so around, okay, what the coaches are looking for and the game plan of who's going to be able to best execute that under pressure. And look, I really enjoyed Richie on the weekend, his chip and chase and being able to put away well for his, even for his own try, seeing little things like that and taking the ball to the line and even beating that hard defense like we've seen a lot in the Super Rugby. And, it's going to just take time for him to be able to come back in. But, if you look at around coming back, not playing a lot of rugby, been able to fine-tune a few things, and he'll be happy with that performance. And I thought his goal kicking was outstanding as well. So whether if he comes back, does he kick in Jordy Barrett? If he comes back into the fold, who's going to be the goal kicker? So that's probably one strength that Richie does have at the moment in his advantage. But look, I just don't think you can go wrong with any which way you do go. And so it's just going to be important for whoever the guy that misses out. He's got a role to do on the bench because, yeah, look, you've got two quality tens. I don't know how many times in this podcast we've talked about which way it's going to go. It's a flip of the coin, but we're fortunate enough that we've just got two great tens, and thank God I'm not a coach to be able to make this decision.
Bryn, just interested from a backs point of view, Damo played well, as I alluded to earlier. His ability to play 10, Bodie and Richie back, how do you see that bench make, like, does he potentially miss out if Geordie starts at 15?
Well, that's I know it's tough because like yeah, Damo can cover 10 as well, mate. And if you look at Quintipiah as a result as well, who played really, really well. He's got to be a possibility if he's not going to start at 12, being on that number 23 like he was against the South Africans. So it's a tough decision with that bench role because you've got guys that can play 10 and 15, and Damo had an absolute blinder on the weekend. So, but I think they would probably my preference probably what they would do. As I'd probably go Bodie and Damo on the bench. Well, if you have Rico on the wing, he's got that ability to be able to cover centre if they do go that way. But then it's tough on Quintipiah, who has only put up his hand coming off the bench in big moments, having that big steal, and he's played well against Tonga in his debut, and then he's had an outstanding game on the weekend. So he's doing everything that he can to be able to put himself in the best position to be in that 23 role.
Some tough conversations this week, I think, in terms of
Yeah.
23, man.
Quintupire has really looked like he's a test match player, hasn't he? And the chances that he's got, Jipper.
Massive. Like, I think we alluded, remember that game against the Rebels, and we sort of touched on him as a big factor back then, and probably didn't foresee his All Black selection. But he just looks natural at each level. He goes, like, he's sort of bought his time for Waikato in the NPC, and then he's waited for his opportunity in the Chiefs here. And then, I think that's prepared him really well for this international game. He's resilient. He hasn't, he's still a young man, but for the amount of games he's played, I suppose, at NPC level and super, he, or to be fair, not maybe games at super because he's had to bide his time for minutes. But he hasn't just been thrown in there, and that resilience and that determination, I suppose, that he's shown in previous years just makes him look so comfortable at that level. And I know we'll get to this player soon enough, but I just remember for my test debut, it didn't matter the opposition. You've got a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, a lot of I suppose expectation when you wear that All Black jersey. But Josh Lord just looked so comfortable and just rolled out there, just relaxed. And I was just like, man, he has got a great mentality, and you can see why he's there at such a young age.
Was it easy to take much out of that for Josh Lord? I mean, it was by the time he got on, it was a bit of a canter, wasn't it? So, in your test debut, it's a nice time to maybe get a feel for it, Brent.
You go, Joe. You go, Joe. You
And
want to say something?
I
You go.
just want to say, I think that's what I took out of it for Josh Lord is his ease of slipping into the All Black jersey. And he might have been feeling other things internally, but visually, he looks so comfortable, so relaxed, and at home in that jersey. And that is not an easy thing, in my opinion, to portray. And I know I've got the inside word from guys like Jared Hoyata, his coach down in Taranaki. He's got a big future in this All Blacks team.
You can't teach that clear head, can you?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that works at Test footy.
But I think a more positive thing for Josh as well. Don't want to take this away from his age, but being so young, he probably doesn't have the expectation of someone that has obviously has strived to. Like, don't get me wrong, he's been a kid. He's obviously always wanted to be an All Black. But when you get it coming to you that young, and yes, Jip, you're right, he just came in really seamlessly, really. But it probably just wasn't that level of like anxiousness of like it coming to it. Just it's come to him early, very fortunate because like he deserves it and they see potential in him. But probably being at a younger age, and no disrespect to the opposition, but probably was a bit of a transition and probably a great way for him to bring up his debut given the circumstances. It's probably might be a little bit different. Don't know what would happen if it was a Wales or a France, but I think it was probably if you're talking around giving guys opportunities at the right time, and you've got to give credit to the All Blacks coaching staff understanding that this is probably actually a good time to bring him on tour. They obviously see him as a project around bringing him on tour, to immerse himself in the All Black environment. But to give him that taste against an American team early on in the tour, I think it was a masterstroke from the All Black environment. And you know, even you look at the leaders as well, probably leading him throughout the week of what an All Black test week looked like. But yeah, mate, he's got a big future, and I'm really looking forward to see not only him, but maybe hopefully at the back end of this autumn series, but you know, for next year for the Chiefs moving forward.
I think that's a key point there, Bryn, is what you say is the opposition and the moment enabled him to probably play that way. But I think because he turned up in that way and he looked that comfortable, he could potentially get a start against Italy. You know, we could see a Taranaki locking duo of Tupou Vahi and Josh Lord, I believe, in that Italian test match due to the way he expressed himself on the weekend.
And then maybe Sam Kane taking the captaincy reins back in that game as well could be a good option.
Yeah, potentially. Or don't be surprised if you see that this week as well. I thought he got some good minutes under his belt. And I'm just a firm believer is when you're that experienced, you've played that much footy, you don't need much of a run-up. I think we could potentially see him in the seven this weekend.
What about the USA, Bryn? What do they take out of that? You know, an understrength side gets absolutely hammered. A couple of high points, but what do they take out of that? Does it help USA rugby?
Oh, I think if you'd ask the players, like, you probably take the outcome of the match and how much points is scored against them. Probably the opportunity that we talked about the last week, the opportunity of playing the All Blacks at home is, you know, they'll take this for the rest of their life. And when they retire or they're done with their career, they'll be able to talk to their kids and even moving forward that they played against the All Blacks. So I think having the opportunity to play the All Blacks in an environment, being at home, you know, not many Americans have been able to do that. And to be honest, they scored two tries as well, which has never been done against, you know, against the All Blacks. So for me, you take away the positives, and probably the biggest thing that they need moving forward is to have their best players that they can play. You know, so no disrespect to the MLR. You know, they've got a great system that they want to bring up in USA Rugby, and you know, hopefully it can continue to keep growing and be better. But they need their top line players, especially when you're playing against world class teams like that. Because you know, unfortunately, you have results like you do in the weekend where it's it tends to be a big scoreline. So you know, hopefully the powers that be moving forward, they can get their players to come back in, and then at least they can have the players that they need to be in there that they can start expressing themselves of what their rugby is like and what they want to show to the world, especially on a stage like that. Because you think about a lot of other countries that have been watching that game, and so you want your best players out there to be able to give a product of what they're truly trying to do and trying to rebuild and trying to build their rugby program moving forward against the top tier nations.
The Nations Championship, Jipper, would that be the thing that could help really build the USA in the long run, as opposed to kind of one-off text matches against the All Blacks?
Oh, potentially. I know we've spoken about this previously, but I think we all know they've got that. They've got the athletic prowess, I suppose, when we look at the NBA, NFL. If their nation turns their head towards rugby, they could be a serious threat because, you know, we know that they've just got copious amounts of sporting talent. So I think one-off test matches like this brings, I suppose, an eye to rugby in their nation. And I would say not so much the Nations Cup would be a big factor in their success, but a change in perception of rugby as a genuine road to sporting success. And if they do change that mindset and you get some good coaching, you know, I suppose programs through and around that MLR and up to the international side, it wouldn't be surprising to see them that successful in the future. And I think every other nation understands how big that could be for rugby, their market, and making it relevant and interesting to their people. Would be huge for the game of rugby, but also huge for the USA national team in terms of the willingness and desire to play for that team.
That's why I hope the MLR moving forward can actually stay, because I know previously before they had the competition, they've been able to rejuvenate and bring that program back. But if you think, you know, going back, that it was there for a while, and they actually had, you know, you look at the New Zealand players that used to go over there, and you the Australia, you get the likes of Matt Giteau, Ashley Cooper, having those guys coming back to those kind of competitions. So, you know, hopefully there's a long-term plan for that league, because I think you're right, Jip, you know, there's a lot of potential out there, but I think it just needs to be, the competition needs to stay for a long period of time, you know, 5 to 10 years, so they can build the competition up. And you can have guys coming from New Zealand, Australia, South Africa. You know, they might be at the back end of their careers, but, you know, the kind of eyes that they bring to the TV and the exposure of rugby, I think it can only make them better moving forward. Yes, they're going to go overseas. There's money overseas, and a lot of their players are playing overseas at the moment. But, you know, if they can keep continuing to grow that competition, you know, even now it's the first, first year it's been around, second year, and you've got high caliber players that have played international rugby and want to be playing in that competition.
People often talk about how you can't take over America, and I don't think that's what anyone wants to do, but if you can get a niche in there, right, if you can get a couple of percent of the available athletes who, you know, we see them in, let's say, the Australian NBL competition, where not good enough for the NBA, but damn, they can play basketball. You know, if we can get a couple of those into rugby, it won't take much to make USA at a strength of numbers, because let's face it, we've only got 100,000 plus players in New Zealand, you know, in a country with 130 odd million or whatever they have over there, Jipper, it wouldn't take much, just a small bit of that.
No, and that's what I meant. You know, we acknowledge the athletic prowess and the ability of, I suppose, the nation in terms of that sporting makeup, but it will take some, I suppose, high quality coaches to go over there and get them to understand the nuances of rugby, because that's a big thing. You know, the athletic prowess is one, but if you don't understand the game and the nuances and the little tactical shifts that you need to make week to week, little adjustments like that to run a team, you know, we're talking about Beauden Barrett and Richie Mwanga, you know, and they're so great and hard to differentiate. A lot of that, yes, they're athletically gifted, but a lot of that is also their tactical nature and their ability to read defenses, manipulate defenses to be able to execute that, and that will be the key part, is the coaching pathways and getting good coaches there, like the players Bryn alluded to, of Ashley Cooper, Gitto, Ma'a's going back there. It's just as important for the coaching to grow and understand how to tactically change a team.
Speaking of coaches moving over to other nations, Wayne Piebeck, obviously, we talked a little bit about him last week, pretty excited. This game against Wales this week for the All Blacks. Not just Wayne Piebeck, we've got likely to see maybe Willis Halaholo, chance to see maybe Johnny McNichol. But I think probably the most interesting point of the Wales selections could be, will we see Gareth Anscombe or Reece Priestland 10? Do you think we might see Anscombe this weekend, Bryn?
Oh, I think, well, look, he's played well enough to be able to be in there. But I think you obviously got Reece Priestland, who's an experienced guy who's played a lot of test matches for them. But, you know, it'll be a great story for Gareth. And knowing Wayne, I don't know, probably don't know him as well as Jip, but, you know, kind of games that mean a lot to people, Wayne's really good at giving people those opportunities. So if you look at Gareth, yes, he's been away for a long time, but, you know, the added motivation of to play against your home country, you know, Wayne would, you know, I'd probably be thinking, he'd be thinking around giving Gareth an opportunity to be able to play. But yeah, look, I think, you know, Wayne, like we said, he's gonna throw the kitchen sink in the All Blacks. He's not gonna use any excuses around, you know, not having some of his players. He'll see it as an opportunity, and he'll galvanize the group for that week around what that's going to look like for them. But, you know, it'll be great to see Gareth Anscombe, because he's gone through so much in a tough couple of years for him. You know, he was probably, you know, before his injury, you know, was the starting 10 for Wales, and was really in some hot form and been able to, you know, move from that kind of, you know, club rugby to then put on the international stage. And he's probably going into that direction. But, you know, those few injuries have dampened him, and, you know, him being able to come back, and if he does get the opportunity, or he might even get the opportunity moving forward, not just the All Blacks, but it'll be great for him in his career to be able to show a little bit of resilience and giving him some game time, considering what he's been through.
I think Reece Priestland will potentially start, and it's about staying in touch for that first 40. And then a guy like Anscombe off the bench against tiring bodies could be a real threat and a game changer for Wales. So I believe that could be potentially the makeup. Because the key is to start the game, you know, set the tone physically, but also play in the right parts of the field. And Gareth has a kicking game, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't played a lot of rugby. So I think a Preston start and then Gareth coming with his injection and his ability to, I suppose, play that running football. And he's got that turn of gas that can punish defenders. And he also has the ability to sit a little bit deeper and manipulate defenses and put guys away. So I think him off the bench will be a better fit if they, you know, target this game of staying in touch to then win it late.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is staying in touch what they need to do? I mean, they do have Alan Wynne-Jones there. They do have probably Josh Adams, Ken Owens. They do have some quality players there, Jip. You know, staying in touch, is that all they're capable of in the first half?
Well, what I'm saying is I think to beat the All Blacks at the moment, they're in a rich vein of form. And as we saw with the South African test versus maybe the Argentinian test or the Aussie test early in the year, if they get away, it's hard to pull it back. So I wasn't saying that in terms of being disrespectful, but if you want to beat this current All Black team in the form they're in, staying in touch is a massive step in the right direction to be able to put yourself in a position to win it late, like we saw with the Springboks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's you know, you look at the South Africans now, they played Ross. You know, if you're looking around a DNA of how you might want to try to beat the All Blacks, you obviously want to break, we talk around breakdown and physicality and being able to slow down the All Blacks ball. That's a given, and no doubt they'll be talking around that. But you know, like we've talked about in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, the kicking game is a really massive positive that they have. You know, their contestable kicks, their kicks off 10, being able to play that game management around playing, because no doubt Wayne will want to run the ball. He want to be able to put the bit of pressure on the All Blacks around their attacking ability, but you know, winning that half line battle and then winning that kicking game and putting up contestables to put the All Blacks under pressure, because you know, the All Blacks in the back end of that second test match got it a lot better. But you know, it's a real good weapon to be able to put them under pressure, slow down the game, put the contestables off 9 and 10, come through, then back your defensive line, because it's so hard if you get those contestable kicks right on the edge. You know, then the All Blacks then have to attack from that edge against a 14-13 man wall. And then do the All Blacks want to play a little bit too much? Then you can be able to build pressure, physicality, put pressure on them. You might get a steal here and there. And then like the South Africans said, they were able to accumulate points from the Buddha Pollard. So I think they need to make it a real dogfight around, similar to how the South Africans were able to slow it down, go back to their set piece, but then been able to take the points through to their kicking game and been able to put that under pressure. But at the same time, when they do have the attacking ability, they've got to be able to execute under pressure and be real clinical when they do get the opportunities against the All Blacks on the weekend.
I do think the All Blacks need to stay aware, because I'll bring you back to when Wales played England, and I think Wayne was new into the role. The quick taps, a couple of times early, they scored off it, whereas you might have thought, you know, a Welsh side would go for three or kick to the corner. Their ability to play fast is there. And I think the balance between that will be key to their success, but also key for the All Blacks to be aware of, because they, if you're slow in the reaction and expect, you know, the usual style, I think they could catch you off guard in that sense. You know, against England, I think it was a quick tap and then a crossfield kick for a try. You know, they're not afraid of, you know, chancing their arm under Wayne. But I think now he's been in there a little bit longer, as we saw with his journey with Scarlets. He actually is really good at coaching players to get back what they see, but also trust that 80 minutes is the key. It's not about winning the game in the first 20 or winning the game on your own in the first 10 or late in the half. It's about working for the whole 80 minutes to create the opportunities for you to win the game.
Bryn, your mate Brad Moore took over at Scarlets, if only for a brief period of time. Will he have some in-house knowledge, I suppose, one of Wayne Pivac and the structures that were in place that Wayne ran at Scarlets, and also of the players that could help the All Blacks this week?
Yeah, I think so. It's a, you know, it's a strength of Brad, the fact that he's been at Scarlets and has a pretty good understanding around that system and Wayne kind of Welsh rugby development and how they want to play and improve to get better. So, yeah, even though he was there for a short time, yeah, no doubt he's a student of the game, and he would have wanted to be able to nitpick and be able to get some knowledge around how they do things, and even the players coming back into the Scarlets environment and talking around how they want to play and how they want to evolve. And so having that kind of stuff is going to be invaluable moving forward. But in saying that, the All Blacks are pretty astute rugby players and have a good understanding around their game plan. So, you know, they'll be able to preview, review, and they'll probably would have already had a plan before the American game of what this week was going to look like and how they were going to play against Wales. So, yeah, I think that he was in Scarlets and, you know, probably would have brought that into meetings around this is what they might be thinking. This might be the direction that they might be going forward. But, yeah, I think they would have just been all collectively pretty well prepared around what's coming. But, you know, him being at Scarlets was bit of a bonus, and we probably would have been able to give a little bit of an insight around some thinking and players and what they're thinking around the Welsh environment and how they play. But yeah, the collectively, I think the coach groups would be all over it moving forward.
With the shoe on the other foot, what about what the All Blacks are bringing in here, Jipper? Because you look at the taste they've got to come, you've got Ireland and you've got France, who probably in recent years would be considered the two probably tougher test matches maybe. But we've seen Wales come up under Wayne Pivac, even if they've got a weaker squad. Is this a first-choice team the All Blacks send out, or is it a hybrid?
No, 100% first-choice. I think it'll be the top 23 that gets selected this weekend. And it'll be, I believe, because of the depth of the squad, it'll be a 23 that's picked on the game plan that they want to take into this game that can best manipulate that Welsh defence to score points. Because we know, as I mentioned earlier, that they like to score from deep. They can score in the 22. They have the ability to pull you apart from everywhere. And putting a 23 together that has that strength to it, but also the nous, that tactical nous to get the balance of attack right. It's not. I don't think we're going to see the chancing of their arm that we saw against the USA, against that Welsh defence.
Mm. So what does that team look like, Bryn? You know, coming off the Rugby Championship, what do you expect?
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty full-strength team, but there are obviously some positions that are tough to call. You know, I thought Tupou Vaai on the weekend was outstanding. So, you know, whether he gets another opportunity, then do you bring back in Sam Kane at the starting role? With, I thought, you know, Dalton Papali'i was great on the weekend as well. But, you know, I think probably the two positions that it's going to be interesting to see is Richie and Bodie, see which direction they go in that. And then I think between Sever and Will for that 14 role, I think Rico's going to come in at 11. But, you know, Will Jordan, who was outstanding on the weekend, and man, the amount of work he does off the ball, I don't know, Jip or Ross, if you guys see that, his ability off the ball, we talk around Callaway and what he does for the Wallabies, it's just amazing to see how much work off the ball Will does. He's pops around Rovers, he's always there for chip and chase. If you see that one, when Richie did that chip and chase, you know, Will was calling that and behind and communicating that to Will. So it's important that, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see which direction they do go, because, you know, Sebi, when he's given his opportunities, has played well. But, you know, I think with Will, what he can do on attack and his ability off the ball, I think he's probably deserving of that 14 role. I don't know what you think around that, Jip.
Oh, look, I think he was great. And you do, I suppose, notice when he's on the wing, because he wants to find himself injected into the play. You know, he loves the game of rugby. He wants to be involved. And I think we saw again with the Wallabies, their biggest strength is their blindside winger on the weekend. You know, like they have the ability to pop up. Even when Hodge went down early, that blindside winger role is so key to their attack and creating that extra number to manipulate defence. And Will is no different in his energy and need to be involved in the play. So, look, I think he'll be in the discussion, no doubt. But I think the other players that are in the same discussion warrant the same thought. And I think where they may go is probably the best back three under the high ball.
So best under the high ball, is that Jordy Barrett, Will Jordan and George Bridge? Is that the best team under the high ball?
I think Rico has to be in there.
Rico. So Rico on the left wing.
If he's not a centre, you've got to find a place for him in that starting 15.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be on the left wing, Anton at 13, and Davey back into 12.
Yeah. No room for Quintu Paia, despite the game line that he can get?
If we talk around whether it be Bodie or Richie on the bench, and then you've probably got Damo, who's warranted being in that number 23 role if he's not selected at fullback, it's tough on Quinn because, look, I think what he does bring off the bench, you're talking around his carries on the weekend. You know, he was one of the top All Blacks carriers, and, you know, had 12 carries and had nine defenders beaten. You know, and I know it was against America, but that's his positive in what he can bring off the bench. If you look around when they played the South Africans, you know, Davey, even though he was running into brick walls just due to the fact of the defensive lineout pressure the South Africans gave us, that ability that Quinn has, a big strength of his, has been able to get through contact and get over the advantage line. And that's what he does bring if he was given that opportunity to come off the bench at number 23. But yeah, I just think the fact that, you know, Bodie's there, Richie's there, and then you've got Damo, who's there as well, and the fact that Rico, if he is selected 11, can cover that midfield role and probably leaves Quinn, you know, missing out just due to the fact that they've got other people that can play in other positions in the starting team.
Well, that's the key, isn't it, Bryn, is Rico?
Yep.
Because he can move to 13, Anton can play 12. There's no need to carry a midfielder. So it's not about performance, it's not about skill set. It just doesn't work for the 23 makeup.
Would be a selector, eh? Especially when you've got such quality with such talent in multiple positions. It almost makes it harder, Brent.
Yeah, but that's like we've talked about it a lot the whole year around guys, you know, playing really, really well, but just due to the fact of how much depth there is, other guys haven't been able to play. But what they have done, and when they have returned and had the opportunity, they just keep staking their claim to be able to be sick up and putting their hand up saying, look, hey, I'm playing well, select me. So what that does do, it gives you confidence that, you know, if you do get given the opportunity, you do play well. And don't get me wrong, you're a competitor and you're probably warranted of wanting to keep playing. But it just comes back to the fact that in this All Blacks team, there's so much depth and so much great players that you've almost just got to play well when you have the opportunity. If you're not selected, bite down the bullet, continue to keep training well, keep being able to put your hand up. And then when you are given your opportunity, you just got to keep consistently keep playing well and keep putting your hand up.
We talked earlier about the USA and the way that they build themselves. If there's a blueprint for building a rugby nation right now, it is Japan. You know, over the course of 20-odd years, they've just slowly got better and better and better, now to the point where they're constantly pushing Tier 1 nations. We saw it on the weekend again against Australia. They were right in the fight, Jipper. This team is only going to get better and better and better as well because their competition's getting better. The Japanese are here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know, you know, Bryn's a big fan of getting a Japanese contract, so he'll be able to elaborate on this a little bit better than myself. But I think the point I made about the USA and their ability for success in the future, it's the coaching. At the top league, their ability to understand the game tactically, and then we know how good the coaches are at the international level, and Jamie Joseph and Tony Brown, that is the key to their success, and giving that deeper understanding and that depth of the tactical nous needed to win big test matches.
And they need to be developing, I suppose, coaches underneath them, don't they, for time to come, because you can't just have foreign coaches completely dominating a league. They need the Japanese coaches to eventually come through, Brent.
Yeah, they do. And I think, no doubt, you know, Jamie Joseph, you know, Tony Brown and even Scotty Hansen are there. They'll be going back to those kind of clubs and being able to try and, you know, give them tips and ideas around what that looks like. Because I think even though you do have foreigners and you look at the three New Zealand coaches that are over there, it's been able to grow and get their knowledge and understand what they're teaching and what they're seeing, and being able to give back to those kind of to those coaches. Because I think you are right, you do want to bring the Japanese coaches up and being able to upskill them and continue to keep growing them, because then it's only going to help that Japan top league and being able to bring more players in and bring it a higher level. But you know, I think it's a positive to have, you know, such a world-class coaching staff. You know, you look at Jamie Joseph, who, you know, was probably in the reckoning for that All Black job when Ian Foster and Razor were going for it, but he decided to pull out and go to the Japan route. But, you know, it's been able to, you know, gain knowledge from those guys and been able to, you look at the players and their growth, you know, the last time they played Australia in 2017, it was, you know, 66-23, it was a massive scoreline. But you look on the weekend, you know, there was the 74th minute and it was 27-23, and they probably had the momentum in there those last couple of minutes, but for the fact that, you know, Valentini has a massive steal in that 77th minute, and then there's a line-out drive going back to their set piece, which, you know, I thought the Australians did really well in that back end of that game to win that game. But, you know, I think the ability that they've grown in those big test matches, they're only going to get better if they can be able to compete for long periods of time, especially, I even think, in that game as well. There were plenty of times in that, there were two times in separate occasions in that game where, you know, Australia usually, probably the last four test matches, have actually just pulled away. But I think just they weren't as clinical as they were. We'll probably go a little bit more detail into that. But the fight that the Japanese men showed and been able to get themselves in a position to, you know, in the last 2-3 minutes to try and win that game, it just shows where they're coming and where they've come from compared to the last time they played the Australians 4 or 5 years ago.
I think the key to that is their defence. So we all say defence wins championships, and it's an old adage that we all understand is the key to success. But if you watch how many times the Wallabies had to switch back to the short side because they didn't get the manipulation and defence off that first carry off the ruck, off the wide ruck, and they always had to keep going. But the defence of the Japanese was up to task. They were really effective on that switch back on the short side. And if you look at it, apart from Tom Wright's try early off a misread on Quaid, and Quaid punished them dearly, it was a rolling maul, a front line-out move that broke that defence. But their phase play defence, the Japanese I'm talking about, was really, really effective. And yet they got some bends, the Wallabies, but not only when they got broken, is the Japanese urgency to get back, and that scramble D was effective as well.
Jib, if you look around the Japanese style, and, you know, they're so good at the chop tackle, you know, a lot of other teams, you know, you look at the South Africans or the Northern Hemisphere teams, yes, they do chop, but they've got the ability to be able to go high, stack, and kind of slow down teams' ball. But, man, the efficiency of how they're chopped, their one tackler, you know, they had 9 turnovers on the weekend, being able to, you know, whether that be getting a guy on the ball, but then that had the ability for the Australians to clean from the side and would get a penalty through that way. Their efficiency in their defence and the kind of discipline, I guess, to be able to continually keep doing that again and again and again. You know, the Australians, a lot of times, even early on, you look at Quade Cooper's try, actually had, you know, a high phase count and actually asked a lot of questions of the Japanese. But, you know, I was really, really, really impressed. And even Scott Hansen in the halftime speech said, yeah, we want to be physical. I'm really pleased with how our physicality is. I'm pleased with, like, how our defence is holding up. So, or then they just said moving forward on their attacking side, so I was being able to ask more questions and keep continuing to play with the ball at a high tempo, which the Japanese team, they tend to do. But yeah, look, I think it's a great stepping stone, Jip, compared to, if you think around how well the Australians have been the last 4 weeks, and probably missed Samu Kerevi and Korobetti, which we'll probably go more in depth in a little bit of time soon.
Yeah, massively missed those guys. But I just want to highlight, I think, you know, Andrew Callaway has probably been their find of the season. But Rob Valentini, his form at super level, we spoke about it earlier in the year, he was massive. And that game, that's the best game I've seen him play at test match level. And he just seems to be getting better. But he was a force against the All Blacks. He was a force for them again in the rugby championship. And in big minutes, you know, between himself and Hooper, and I thought Leota actually played really well as well. But yeah, Valentini, I think, is a big find in terms of his form and the role he's filling for this, I suppose, newly defined Wallabies team in what they're doing at set piece and that breakdown space and in the carry. Yeah. He's a big part of that.
Chip, it's fair to say it's very similar to Akira. You think around those back-to-back efforts. It's those back-to-back efforts, again, getting up and being able to be consistently in the game. And look, you know, in that Melbourne Rebels, you know, you talk around his improvements, but I think even at test level, he's almost gone to another level around always being in the game. You look at the 77th minute, you know, that's a big steal that pretty much won them that test match. But, you know, you look at all the hard work that he's been able to do, whether it be carrying, contact meters, clean outs. He just seems that he's taken his game to another level to be able to be consistently in the game and winning little moments and not going in and out of games. He's consistently doing that for the whole game, which I found really, really impressive, and probably has given, you know, the likes of Leota, you know, on the edge, even with his carries, he can be more so dominant and on and wanting to carry on the edge and being able to be a little bit more looser than Hooper and Valentini.
And I think the selection of Leota is key in another area that the Wallabies were better at, and I think Isaac Rodda plays a big role in this, is that line out forward six, is because their defensive setup and their ability to steal off the source really put the Japanese set piece under pressure. And, you know, people forget how key that is to them winning that game. And it was really tied up until the end. And taking those opportunities away when the Japanese kick to the corner from a penalty and go to the line out and Rodda gets up or Leota gets up, it's just those little things add up so much, and it's just a sign for me, I suppose, of where this Wallabies pack's got to, and they're all about the small detail and the little, I suppose, unnoticed effort is where they're so good at the moment.
What about at the back? You mentioned Hodges' injury before. Obviously, Banks is out. Is it an SOS to Kirtley Beale? Where do they go at fullback?
I think it provides an opportunity for a Kirtley Beale to come into the squad, but I still would like to see a Cooper O'Connor make up and potentially see what damage they could cause having that, I suppose, that first receiver prowess both sides of a midfield ruck.
Yep. Cooper looked really good with his bridge passing. Like, it's one of those kind of tactics, isn't it, where it's either on or it's a real problem. But the width that they got with those bridge passes, Bryn, really gave them some attack and some success out wide and led some tries.
Yeah, look, you die by your sword sometimes. And, look, you're not always going to get it right. And probably the last time we saw that was against the All Blacks. And that's fine because the space is there. And, look, I'll do the review and, you know, do we want to go through the hands or do we want to get a little bit more manipulation in their phase play attack that they usually have? We talked about how good it was and how much of an improvement it is. So they'll continue to look around that in a solution. But yeah, I think just coming back to Jip's point, yeah, I'd really want to see that because what I liked as well is I like Jordan Petaia, man, on that wing. You know, the kind of, if you talk around Corabetti and what he brings and how, like, in contact and being able to get through the line and always seems to be able to beat that first defender, I think it's really important for this series to be able to let Jordan Petaia do that because they have lost that a little bit with Corabetti not being there, and there's a few injuries now to Hodge and Banks as well. So I think it's a great opportunity. Jip talks around opportunity. It's a great opportunity for Petaia moving forward because I think what he can give them around getting them over the advantage line, and then what's that going to do on the edge is be able to get the team going over the advantage line, and then you can get their phase play shape, you know, and get the likes of McDermott, White running in and around. And yes, I think the Japanese actually defended that short side really well. It was a massive ploy, I think, the Australian saw that they could have gone down that short side. But, you know, I think Jordan Petaia moving forward and then having the likes of O'Connor and Cooper working in that double pivot way, I think it's going to possibly even open up their attacking prowess even more with having two decision makers and great communicators and understanding what the 10 role can be in two players.
There's a lot of exciting football to come through the rest of the month. Sunday mornings are booked out, Jipper. there's nowhere else to be in front of your television screen for the next month.
Absolutely. I just think it's like if you look at what we've had in the Rugby Championship and now the opportunity that we get to see these sides versus the Northern Hemisphere and that different style, and what side can, I suppose, adjust and have the ability to play multiple attacking styles to manipulate that defence, but also have the defensive prowess to, I suppose, nullify the kicking game that they'll come up against. I find that stuff exciting. I really love the tactical sort of chess match that comes in these bigger test matches against these nations that are so fixated on their style that works so well for them, that challenges the Southern Hemisphere's attacking style. So it's just, I'm up for it. As you know, Ross, I'm always up for footy.
Hey, Bryn, so we've got a couple of games, Scotland, Tonga, and All Blacks, Wales. Give us a couple of scorelines, would you?
I think Scotland will comfortably win that one. it'll be a convincing win for them. And then, yeah, I think the All Blacks, I think it's going to be tough. I think there's going to be moments in those games where Wales are really going to test the All Blacks. But I just think for the fact that they won't have the manpower against the All Blacks, you know, I'm probably going to go All Blacks probably 14 plus would probably be my guess.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a hard-fought battle up front because you spoke about the players that are still available in that eight, but where the game will be, I suppose, decided is just, you know, we've spoken about how hard it is to select a 23 in and around that midfield and back three. I think that's where the difference will be, and the All Blacks will get away with the victory, and I agree with Brendan in terms of Scotland and, you know, with MIQ spots in certain circumstances. Back here in New Zealand, it's actually been hard for Tonga to access all the players that they'd like.
The ongoing problem, isn't it? Forever going on and on like that. But it'll still be a good weekend of football. Really looking forward to it. Thanks again for joining us. James Parsons, Bryn Hall, Ross Carl on the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Mā te wā.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.